loved you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Praise your name, Lord. Glory to your name. You know, I appreciate experts, people that have trained in different disciplines and different areas. They've gone to school, they've gotten education in a particular arena, they've gone to trade school, been an apprentice, mechanic, doctor, lawyer, teacher. I appreciate expertise. And I try to get as much insight and education as I can on the particular arenas out there so that I have different pieces of knowledge and information to make good decisions, whether it's financial decisions or, car decisions. When God speaks, all expert opinions stop. Amen. And I don't care if I'm at a mechanic and they tell me this is wrong. Unless God says something, if I believe them to be a reputable mechanic, I'll take their word for it. But when God says no, that's not the problem. That's not what's going on. This is what's going on. It doesn't matter how much education they have. It doesn't matter how much of an expert they are. When God speaks, you can throw out all the expert opinion. You can throw out all the education because God knows more than they do. I appreciate every doctor, every nurse. They do a lot of good things and help a lot of people in this country and abroad. But God knows what's going on more than they do. And for the most part, you can sit and listen to their opinion and tell you what's going on, and that's fine. But we have to learn to silence all voices when God speaks and says, no, this is the way it is. This is what's going on. This is what's happening. Listen to me. Don't listen to that. And you don't have to be rude about it, but I just can't hear that. God has told me, God has shown me what the situation is, how it is, and what needs to happen. And there are tons of experts out there in different fields. But when God speaks to you about a physical situation, he speaks to you about an automobile situation, he speaks to you about a real estate situation, he speaks to you about a financial situation, you can take people's advice all the way up to the point where God says, no, this is the way it is. So be cognizant of that in this time and in this season that we're in. There are a lot of voices out there. There are a lot of people who are so-called experts. And many of them are, as we said, we appreciate the education. Each person in this room has expertise in some area. I've got expertise in some area. But the biggest expert is God. The biggest expert is the Holy Spirit and how he leads you and how he directs you. So I just wanted to share that as we start administering the word this night. I want to talk to you tonight about getting started, about taking steps, and about recognizing the seed that God has given you. Something that some believers struggle with is when God shows them something. God gives them a vision. He puts something in your spirit. You know, the Bible talks about the eyes of the spirit. You can see things in your spirit that you don't necessarily see with your natural eye. You see yourself healed. You see yourself blessed. You see yourself with a new house. You see yourself with this ministry. You see yourself with this business. Your physical eyes don't see it. Your senses don't feel it. At the time that God shows it to you, you may not be able to physically touch it. But you see it in your belly. You see it in your spirit. And sometimes believers get tripped up because God has given them a vision. God has called them to something. God has shown them something, and that could be ministry. That could be a job, a career. It could be wealth and abundance. It could be weight loss. It could be a better marriage, a better family. It can be a new house. It can be a new car. It could be owning your own business. But whatever it is that God has put on the inside of you, whatever God has shown you in your spirit, some believers get tripped up because they don't see the means and the resources to do what God has called them to do. And God shows you something, and seemingly you don't have the resources to accomplish what God is showing you, what God has put in your spirit. And so what tends to happen is that because that believer can't see a way, they don't have the resources, then they immediately put it on the shelf. They immediately disregard it. They think and talk themselves out of what God put on the inside of them, what God put in their spirit to do, to be, to say, whatever it is, because seemingly they don't have the resources to accomplish it. And instead of taking a step, they say to themselves, if I can't take every step, I won't take any step. They say to themselves, if I can't do it all, I won't do anything. And what you have to realize is that many times there is a process to possessing, laying hold of, and entering into that thing that God has called you to, that God has shown you. And we have to understand that God knew the situation that you were in before he showed you that vision. He knew what was around you. He knew what you did and what you did not have, and he showed it to you anyway. So tonight, I want you to understand that you have everything you need to do what God has called you to do. You have everything you need to do what God has called you to do. You may not see it in the natural yet, but you have it there. It's available because God wouldn't have called you to it, and God wouldn't have shown it to you if there was not a way to possess it and enter into it. And many times the only obstacle that believers face is not having the resources. It's inactivity. It's laziness. It's misplaced priorities or wasted time. I'm going to say that again. Many times the obstacles that believers are dealing with, it's not the lack of resources. It's inactivity, not doing something. I can't do it all, so I don't do anything. I can't make every step, so I don't take any step. Inactivity, laziness, misplaced priorities, or wasted time. I'm spending time on things that don't align with what God put in my spirit, with what God showed me on the mountain in prayer, with the vision that God has put on the inside of me. We're told in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11, that we should be diligent to enter his rest. That we should be diligent to enter his rest. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So there is a rest that God has provided for us, but we're told to be diligent about entering that rest. And many times believers associate rest with inactivity. But God has a plan for you. He has a plan for you in the earth. And if rest meant inactivity, then why not take you home as soon as you put your faith in Christ? Why not spend all of your days after you put your faith in Christ sleeping and eating? Sleeping and eating. Brother, what are you doing? Well, Christ did everything. I'm resting. The rest that God has provided is in Holy Spirit-inspired activity. It is ceasing from your works, ceasing from your labors, because your works originate with you. The works of man start with man. Restful works and entering into his work, for we were created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So when we talk about rest, God's not talking about inactivity. God's not talking about not doing something. He is talking about not letting your activity start with you. He's talking about letting your activity start with inspiration from the Holy Spirit and what God showed you and what God inspires you to do. There is a difference between working for something and working in response to something. When you look at the believer who works and tries to do things themselves, that's the believer who's not at rest. When it's their plan, that they came up with in their thinking, in their mind, without God. But the believer who is at rest does not work, but receives. That believer receives what God has given them. So we don't work for, we work in response to. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for what? For good works. We are called to do good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. So we are not saved. We are not rescued. We are not brought to health, safety, wholeness, deliverance by efforts that we accomplish. We're brought there by what God did through Christ and in Christ. But then what happens after that for the believer? It's not a question of whether or not you are accepted by God. When we broach the topic of grace and we broach the topic of rest, it's not a matter of whether or not you are accepted by God. You are accepted by God through Christ. Your sin is forgiven. Your sin has been obliterated, past, present, and future. Your sin has been deleted. But if we are to stop there, then how does the kingdom get established in the earth? How does the kingdom manifest through you? If there's no work, if there's no activity, then how do things get done? So the message of grace is not separate from the mission and the assignment that God has given you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10. Paul says, but by the what? But by the grace. So what comes first? Grace. Grace. I cannot do anything without grace. I cannot do anything for God without grace. Grace is what propels me. It's what inspires me. It's what equips me. It's the grace of God working in me. It's the grace of God working in me. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me did not prove to be vain. How would the grace of God prove to be vain in someone's life? He makes this statement. What does he mean? And his grace toward me did not prove vain. But I what? I labored even more than all of them. But who was really laboring? Yet not I, but the grace of God that was laboring with me, in me, through me. So the difference between the believer who is at rest and the one who is working, the one who is at rest still is laboring. They are working, they are active, they are doing something for the kingdom, but they know, believe, and acknowledge that it's the grace of God working through them to get that thing done. The person who is operating in works and not relying on grace is the one who is active and working, but relying upon themselves. So, in talking about being diligent to enter God's rest, to lay hold of the things that God has for us, what we don't want to do is say, because the grace of God is active in my life, because the rest of God is active in my life, that means that I go home and I sit and I go to sleep and I don't wake up for another 20, 30, 50 years. God is not going to do the work of establishing the kingdom by himself in the earth. God works through you, me. He works through man to establish his kingdom in the earth. But the starting point is grace. The starting point is rest, and we are inspired by that grace, by that rest, unto good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in. We should operate in the works. We should operate in the activity that God established beforehand, but we have to understand that it's the grace of God that allows it, that propels it. But it does not mean that I sit around and I don't do anything. Let me give you an example. I buy Richard a car. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all who are weary." Weary from what? Weary from doing their own thing. Weary from trying to earn life. Weary from trying to work the law to produce life. "Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened down by rules, commandments, law." What were they burdened down by? The burdens that the priest and the Pharisees and Sadducees put on them, the traditions of men. They were burdened. They were tired. They were tired of working in their own effort, of trying to produce life by themselves. "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Well, Brian, if I'm resting, that means I'm not doing anything. If I buy Richard a car and I say, "Richard, there is a new car out in the parking lot that I bought for you." He did not buy that car. I bought it for him. He did not work for that car. He did not labor for that car. I did it. I did that work. Richard did nothing to earn that car. I wanted to do something good for Richard, and so I did it. It was by grace that I got Richard that car. Richard might have, hypothetical, Richard might have made me mad the other day. But I buy him a car anyway because I love him and my grace buys that car for him. If I say, "Richard, there is a car out in the parking lot for you. Go get it." Now, I provided a rest for Richard because now he doesn't have to go from dealership to dealership. He doesn't have to search for it. He doesn't have to work for it. He may have been trying to get a car for years, and now I just give him one out of my goodness. It's grace that I've imparted to Richard. He has not had to work for that car. And I say, "Richard, your car is in that parking lot." Richard now has the opportunity to enter into my rest that I provided for him. He needs to be diligent to enter my rest. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." He did not say that he didn't have a yoke. He said that his yoke was easy and his burden was light. And I say, "Richard, go get your car." If Richard says, "I like this chair I'm sitting in," If Richard says, I don't feel like getting up out of my chair, taking the 30 steps out of this sanctuary to go into the hallway, to go into the foyer, I don't feel like opening that door to go and start my car up and drive it off. He is not being diligent about entering my rest. Grace got it for him. But if he doesn't lay hold of my grace, if he doesn't lay hold of my rest, he will have a car. It will have his name on it. He is blessed. But if he doesn't lay hold of it through activity, what is the activity? The activity is not working for salvation. The activity is possessing it. And listen, most of us would say, Richard, that's easy. That's light. God hasn't called you to do much. Brian hasn't called you to do much other than go get up out your seat and go possess what belongs to you. Go lay hold of what belongs to you. I told Richard, this is what you need to do, not to get the car. This is not what you need to do to get the car. This is what you need to do to enter in to the vision that I gave you when I told you that I had a car for you. You need to listen to me. Listen to the directions that I give. Simply, easily, restfully follow my directions, because they're going to lead you into the manifestation of the vision that I put on the inside of you. If Richard says, I don't want that car, I like to do things myself. I wanted to get my own car. I wanted to pull myself up by my own bootstraps. I wanted to do it myself. I want to do this myself. I don't want what you provided. I'm going to do it myself. Now Richard has entered into works, because he's going to do it himself. When we're talking about activity tonight, when we're talking about being diligent tonight, working activity that we walk in to lay hold of, we're not talking about doing it yourself. Does everybody see that in your spirit? We're not talking about doing it yourself. We're not nullifying grace. We're not nullifying rest. As a matter of fact, we are putting a stamp on grace and on rest, that it's been provided for you. It's been given to you. But God is going to lead you into the manifestation of what he already possessed for you. And there may be different things that he'll show you, he'll tell you, he'll nudge you, he'll prompt you by his spirit, do this, do this, do this, not to get the blessing, not to purchase the blessing, to restfully enter in to the thing that I purchased for you, for the thing that I bought for you. That's what we're inspiring you tonight in, to be diligent about doing what God tells you to do and shows you to do, to enter in to that ministry, to that house, to that car, to that business, to whatever it is that God has put in your spirit. 2 Kings chapter 4. Now a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elijah, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. and the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves. Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? There are resources all around you. It could be your furniture. It could be your clothing. It could be your relationships, people you know. It could be your job. It could be equipment that you have. It could be a computer. It could be a pencil. There are resources all around you. What you have to do tonight is allow yourself to say, everything in my life is fair game for God to use to bring the blessing into manifestation. Everything's fair game. What do you have in your house? Was the question. And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house except the jar of oil. Then he said, go borrow vessels at large for yourself from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not get a few. So there's a process that's taking place here. The first thing, she had to realize that she did have something. She had something God could work with. We're going to take a look at the water pots that Jesus used to turn water into wine. But God doesn't discount his earth and what he's put in the earth. He uses his earth and the tools, because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He uses his earth as conduits and sources of transportation to bring the manifestation of what's in your spirit to you. So you have to be able to allow yourself to say, everything, no matter how little or big that I have in my life, is fair game for God to use. What do you have in your house? She had to come to the realization that there is something she has that God can use. He tells her to go borrow vessels from your neighbors. Next step, activity. He tells her something. What is God telling you to do about the dream and the vision that God has put on the inside of you? What is he telling you to do? I don't know what it is, but you know what it is. It may be something very small. It may be a conversation that you need to have. It may be a meeting that you need to have. It may be an event that you need to go to. It may be something you need to write down. What is that first step that God is dealing with you about taking that you haven't taken because you couldn't see all of it yet, and so you didn't do anything? What's the step that you can take? He tells her, go borrow some vessels. That's what he told her. What is he telling you specifically to do? What's that first step? What's that one step? It may not be everything, but what's that one thing? So go borrow, and you shall go in and shut the door behind you and your sons and pour out into all these vessels, and you shall set aside what is full. So she went from him, shut the door. She obeyed what God said. If we can allow ourselves to say the prophet of God, the man of God represents God, then we can allow ourselves to say that God told her and she obeyed what God was telling her. Verse 6, when the vessels were full, she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not one vessel more. And the oil stopped when there was nothing else to put the oil in. You always want to be making room and making a place for what God has put on the inside of you, the vision that God has shown you. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil, pay your debt. You and your sons can live on the rest. How did they get out of debt? How did they get out of debt? First, she had to realize there is something here that God could work with. God had to show that to her. then she had to obey the promptings of God. You have to obey the promptings of the Holy Spirit. This is not obedience to righteousness that we're talking about. This is obedience to possessing all that God has given you already through His grace and His rest. This is laying hold of what God has already put in store for you. So she got out of debt, listening to the man of God, paying attention to what she had, and not despising small beginnings. Don't be a person that says, because I can't do everything, I'm not going to do anything. Do not despise small beginnings. If God is calling you to start your own business and you don't have the money to do it yet, what can you do right now that would need to be done, that would be a natural part of starting a business? Is it writing down a business plan? Do you have a pencil? Do you have a sheet of paper? You at least have that. Start. Because when you start, when you take a step, more will open up. More will come. We're going to see that here in a minute. I got an Amber Alert on my phone. John chapter 2. John chapter 2, verse 1, on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does that have to do with us? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now, there were what? 6 stone water pots. Now, why didn't God rain wine out of heaven? We keep seeing God going back to his earth. We keep seeing God going back to things that already exist, that he already put in the earth, that he already surrounded you with to use as a starting point. Yes, there was anointing on it. Yes, there was a miracle on it, but he used them as a starting point to bring the manifestation. What's around you? Now, don't go home and try to figure out what's around you, okay? What you want to do is you want to go home and listen. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to God. What is God speaking to you? What is God telling you? Do that. Don't try to figure it out in your head, okay? We're talking about grace and rest. And that comes from God, Holy Spirit inspired activity. That's rest. Trying to figure it out yourself is not rest, right? Getting mental is not rest. But you want to listen and you want to be in prayer about what God is showing you about what he's already put in place around you for you to take. It's not the blessing yet. It's a step. Okay, many times believers confuse seed with harvest and end up eating what they should have planted. And we don't want to do that. Okay, we want to be stewards over the seed that God gives us and not eat it when we should plant it or invest it or use it. Some believers hoard money when they should spend it because they don't believe any more is coming. So I got to keep what I have instead of spending it not frivolously, but on something that's a part of what God's put on the inside of me. Not to be reckless, not to write faith checks, but to spend it on something because you are investing in the future that God has given you. Okay? So you don't want to eat what you should plant, And you don't want to confuse a seed with your harvest. If it's not what God has shown you yet, if that's not the full picture, you haven't reached the full harvest yet. So while there are moments to enjoy on the way to the full harvest, where God allows you to enjoy bits and pieces, make sure you're always replanting the many harvests that are happening on the way to the full harvest. Because if you eat it all, then you won't have anything else to plant, anything else to invest. Okay? So, all right. Running a little short on time. So Jesus, he uses the water pots. He used what's around them, filled them with water, and he turns the water into wine. Okay? You always see God, I'm going to say always, many times you see God using what he's already put in the earth to bring about his will, plan, and purpose being done in the earth. Okay? Matthew chapter 25, in verse 14, for the sake of time, many of you know this account, the parable of the talents. Verse 15, he gave five talents to one, he gave five talents, to another two, to another one, each according to his own ability. Don't be jealous of what someone else has. Don't be jealous of someone else's seed. What God puts in your hand to sow, to invest, to make that first step or that second step, it will be according to your ability and what you can handle. Immediately, the one who had received the five talents went and traded with them and gained five more talents. The one who was given two traded, got two more talents. The one who had the one didn't do anything. No activity. The two that did something, who were active about, what did God leave them? In this parable, what did the master leave them? He didn't leave them harvest. He left them seed. He didn't give them harvest. He gave them something to work with. He gave them seed to work, to be active with. Okay? And again, God's grace is on all of this activity, right? It's not inspired by us, right? We don't want to do it out of our mind. We want to hear. It's simple. Listen and obey. Listen and obey. The Holy Spirit says, go here, you go here. You said, say this, you say this. Do this, do that. Yeah. I'm amazed sometimes as I prepare to minister sometimes, or I'm just reading and meditating and doing my, you know, just personal devotion, whatever we want to call it these days. I don't know what we're calling it. But, you know, meditating the word, and you know, I may be tired. I may be sleepy. I may not feel like doing it. My body, my spirit, yes. My body may not feel like praying. But I've noticed that if I will take one step, the grace of God is in that step. And I begin to pray, maybe sing a little song, and I'm not feeling it. And I don't try to whip it up. I just kind of slowly walk around my house. And I may have had a long, busy day. And I might just say, I love you, Lord, or you're awesome, you're wonderful. It's amazing how saying one phrase energizes you to say another phrase and energizes you to say another phrase, and you begin to sense something taking place in your spirit. And the thing is that God is not changing, you're changing. Okay? The presence of God that's always been with you, in you, through you, in your house, that hasn't changed. You are changing and entering into what has already been there. And with every phrase, with every declaration, with every confession, with every tongue, you're entering more and more into that flow, and you're taking a step, you're taking another step, and something else is happening. You're taking another step, something else is happening. You're taking another step and something else is happening. Things begin to open up, boom, boom, boom. And before you know it, you're praying in the spirit and revelation is coming to you like a full flood. You go to prepare to teach that Sunday school class, that children's church. You're not quite sure what you're going to do or say or anything, but you take that first step of opening your Bible. And you begin to meditate where the Holy Spirit tells you to meditate. And he begins to show you something else. And then he says, well, what about this? And well, what about this? And you're like, oh, that's pretty good. Did I come up with that or was that you, God? It was God, in case you didn't know the answer, you know. But it's amazing how when you take steps into the things of God that God's put in your spirit, even if you don't know where that step is going to lead, you feel inspired. You are inspired by the Holy Spirit to at least do this one simple thing, and that turns into something else. That's one door open, and that's another door open, and that's another door open. And sometimes it's a process, and you're able to look back at the events that happened, the events that transpired that brought you into this manifestation of the blessing. It didn't bring you into the blessing because the blessing's already yours. You're already blessed. It just brought you into the manifestation of what was already yours. It brought Richard to his car that was already purchased. We see in Jesus' ministry, there were things already in place. The colt that he needed to ride to make the triumphal entry. The upper room furnished and ready. The boat that he needed to back offshore and minister to the people. We see things already in the earth. The fish with the coin in its mouth to pay the taxes. This stuff is already in the earth. So it's a matter of being sensitive and being led by the Spirit of God and doing what God tells you to do. Okay? First Kings chapter 17, and we will work on closing out here over the next few minutes. So this is Elijah. The word of the Lord came to him saying, go away from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. It shall be that you will drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to provide for you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. Verse 7, it happened after a while that the brook dried up. The word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose, went to the city. A widow was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, please get me a little water in a jar that I may drink. As he was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a piece of bread in your hand. But she said, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in the bowl and a little oil in the jar. And behold, I am gathering a few sticks that I may go in and prepare for me and my son that we may eat it and die. So there was a famine in the land. There was nothing to eat. She had a little bit of flour. She just had a very, very little bit. Somebody say little bit. Then Elijah said to her, do not fear. Do not fear. Go, do as you have said. But put me first. Make me a little bread cake from it first and bring out to me. Now, listen. This is very, very important. If you are not where you see in your spirit naturally, if you see something in your spirit, your vision, whatever it is, debt-free, car, house, abundance, family, marriage, business, whatever, if you're not there yet, where many people make the mistake is taking the little bit that they have and holding on to it. I don't have much, but what I have, I'm going to keep. And they find it amazing that God would ask for just a little bit that you have. God, why don't you ask so-and-so? They have a lot. Why are you asking me for the little bit that I have? Okay, I've only got $20, you know, for me to give, for you to tell me to put five in the offering, that's a quarter of my money. Yeah, it's a quarter. That's a quarter of my money. God, why would you? God is not trying to take from you. He's trying to get you into that thing that's in your spirit, right? So he says, he doesn't even acknowledge. He says, give it to me first. When you honor God first, even with the little bit that you have, Brian, I only got a little bit of time. When you honor God first with that time, Brian, I only got a little bit of money. When you honor God first with that money, it opens things up, okay? So if you're starting out and the vision is to own your own business, the way to get there is not to hoard the little bit that you have. It is to, Holy Spirit inspired, sow, give, step your way into that which God already has for you. Okay? So he says, give it to me first, and afterward, you may make one for yourself and for your son. The tithe belongs to God. Honor him first. And there's still 90 for you to operate with, right? So the tithe, the first part of it, well, Brian, my paycheck wasn't that much this week. Of course, God doesn't want me to tithe, right? You know, that'd be $30 out, you know. No, God is saying tithe, honor me first, right? And then the rest is going to be blessed. And you'll be able to operate and function and flow in the blessing because I was honored first, and it showed that you trusted me, that money was not your source, that you exalted me as your source. So she gave the man first. God says the bowl of the flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall the jar of oil be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain on the face of the earth. So she went and did according to the word of Elijah. She and her household ate for how many days? Many days. She was prepared to only eat one time. How could she give the little bit that she have and now be able to eat more? Honoring God first, right? Putting God first. So, sowing the seed, the little bit that she had was not harvest. It was seed to be sown, to be planted. And then the last thing, we're talking about taking steps. What's your first step? Joshua chapter 3, this is the last verse. Joshua chapter 3, verse 1. Joshua rose early in the morning, he and all the sons of Israel. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the midst of the camp. They command the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God with the Levitical priest carrying it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. However, there shall be between you and it a distance of about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you shall go, that you may know the way by which you shall go. You're going somewhere. There's a vision here. For you have not passed this way before. You've not owned a business before, but it's in your spirit. You've not had a good marriage yet, but it's in your spirit. You've not own the house before, but it's in your spirit. You've not passed this way before. Then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over ahead of the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went ahead of the people. Now the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, and they may know that just as I was with Moses, I am with you. You shall, moreover, command the priests who are carrying the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you come to the edge of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. What happens when you come to the edge, or you come to the end of one phase of the vision that God has put on the inside of you, and you need to enter into that next phase? You say, Brian, I wrote down the business plan. I still don't have any money. You know, so what do we do here? Yeah. You know, Brian, I did the research about that industry. Brian, I did the research about that car, about that house. Okay, so now what's the next step, right? When you're about to go from one phase of the vision to the next phase, here's what God says. When you come to the edge, or if you'll allow me to say, when you come to the next phase of the waters, you shall stand still in the Jordan. Then Joshua said to the sons of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you. Let's skip to verse 11. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over ahead of you into the Jordan. Now then, take for yourselves 12 men of the tribes of Israel, one of each tribe. And let's skip down to verse 15. And when those who carried the ark came into the Jordan, and the feet of the priests carrying the ark were dipped into the edge of the water, for the bank overflows, for the Jordan overflows all its banks all the days of harvest, the waters which were flowing down from above stood up and rose in one heap a great distance away at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan, and those which were flowing down toward the sea. So when they took a step, just one step, into that thing that God was showing them, into that phase that God was showing them, whatever that step is that the Holy Spirit inspires you to do, when they took that one step, doors open. Things were cleared out for them to walk through. But they had to step in. They had to step in. They had to step in. These were not people who were saying, I know what this is going to take to accomplish this, and I can't do everything that's necessary to do to accomplish this, so I'm not going to do anything. You've got something in your house. You've got something in your hand. There is a piece of activity that, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you can accomplish and that you can do. And it can be a phone call. It can be research. It may be a vision statement. It may be just writing something down. It may be a conversation that you need to have as a first step. Maybe it's a small purchase that you need to make. Maybe it's just a declaration that you need to hear out of your mouth. Maybe it's prayer. Maybe it's a meeting. Maybe it's attending a conference. There is a little activity inspired by the Holy Spirit that, as you take it and you're faithful with it and you obey what God said do, you take that step and you watch, you expect another door to open. And then you walk through that door and you take the next step. Lay hold of what God has for you. Don't allow your mind and your flesh to be thwarted because you can't do everything right now. What can you do? What's in your hands? How can you get started? And allow God to direct you. Allow God to order your steps and take you. For some people, it may happen very fast. For some people, it may take a while. But no matter how long it takes, God has a blessing, plan already in store for you. Just follow in rest, under grace, follow the Spirit of God, and He's going to lead you there. Amen? Amen? Praise God. We are done. Went a little bit over time. I trust that you were blessed. Father, we thank you, sir. Father, I pray right now that you open that step or those steps up to your family, that you show them, Father, what it is that you would have them do to step in to their blessing, to lay hold of it. Father, we don't rely upon our efforts and works that started with us, but we do know that we've been saved by grace unto great works for us to walk in, to demonstrate and show your kingdom alive in the earth, Father. So open it up, Father. We receive that revelation. We receive that clarity, that understanding, that leading of the Holy Spirit, Father, to walk in step by step the thing that you've put on the inside of our spirit, Father. Cause it to come alive like never before in us, sir. Thank you, Father. You are blessed. You are free to go.